Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the San Diego Insurance Small Business Teletown Hall. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Should you require operator assistance during the call, press star then zero on your phone's keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Senator Tony Atkins. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. I am Tony Atkins, Senator for San Diego and President pro tempore of the California Senate. I want to start by thanking our Insurance Commissioner, Ricardo Lara, for partnering with me on this teletown hall to provide crucial information for our local San Diego businesses. And I want to thank all of you, San Diego residents, business owners, and other interested parties for joining us this afternoon. I am acutely aware that businesses are in desperate need of assistance and that workers need assistance and that this is going to really require every one of us working together to recover. My spouse is a small business owner. I've watched her go through trying to understand and research the options and resources that are available to her. And in fact, I even reached out to our insurance commissioner on an issue that I'm sure he will talk about a little bit later in the call. It has been 7 weeks since we recessed the legislature in Sacramento on March 16th. The Senate is set to return on May 11th on Monday. The Assembly just returned on the 4th, the beginning of this week. Since then, the Senate has had two special hearings, a budget hearing several weeks ago, and just yesterday, a pandemic response emergency committee that I put into place to look at COVID-19 specific issues. Since that time, I've had weekly calls, two per week with Governor Newsom. My Senate Democratic Caucus has had weekly calls. I've connected with our Senate Republican leader, Shannon Grove. Certainly, it is and has been challenging to find new ways to work. But we have been able to do that, and I know all of you are actively doing that as well. For my part here, my district team and I have been working hard to respond to constituent issues, problems that we hear about. We are working remotely. Every day, my staff is responding to calls to see if there is something the state can be helpful in resolving. We're working with offices at every level of government, federal, county, city, and certainly our community partners to make sure that we're assisting everyone that we can. And so it's why we're trying to educate and share with as many businesses and as many people as possible through the teletown halls about what resources are actually available now to you. And unfortunately, there isn't an opportunity to take live calls. We did get a lot of questions in that we're going to respond to in the course of this call, but I want to make sure for my part that folks out there listening know that you can contact my district office, 619-645-3133, or fill out a contact form on our website at sd39.senate.ca.gov/contact. Give us a call. I know that a lot of you are interested in specific EDD-related issues and have questions or need specific help regarding your unemployment application. So I hope you'll please call my office. We are spending a lot of time on these particular issues, and I want to make sure you know you can reach out to us. Today's town hall is focused on small business and insurance resources. We have an excellent lineup of subject matter experts here, including our California Insurance Commissioner, Ricardo Lara, who I'm going to introduce in just a minute, our very own Jerry Sanders, President and CEO of the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce, Michael Sovacall, Deputy District Director of our U.S. Small Business Administration, and Mark Herbert, Vice President of Small Business Majority. And I'm going to kick it off right now and introduce Ricardo Lara, who is California's 8th elected insurance commissioner. He is actually the leader of the nation's largest state consumer protection agency, and he's charged with protecting California consumers. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, I think he's been busier than ever. I recall on Monday, the 13th of April, he ordered insurance companies to return a percentage of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by COVID-19. And thank you, Ricardo. I got my letter from my insurance company a week ago. On Tuesday, April 14th, he required companies to comply with their contracts and California law by fairly investigating all business interruption claims caused by COVID-19, just as they would for any other disaster. Let me thank you for that. My spouse asked very specifically about that of you. And in addition, the commissioner is my former Assembly and Senate colleague, and I'm always pleased to work with him on projects of importance to California. So with that, let me turn it over to you, Commissioner Lara, with my welcome for allowing me to partner with you on this Teletown Hall.
Thank you, Pro Tem Atkins. It's such a blessing to hear your voice. I know that you and your family are doing well. It's great for us to do this, and especially for our partners and our friends and our business owners in San Diego. I don't know if many of you know, but I consider San Diego my second home. It's as a proud San Diego State Aztec. I head down there as often as possible. Even as our basketball season was abruptly cut short in one of our most amazing San Diego State basketball programs in history. But I'm not bitter. thank you again, Senator Atkins, for your leadership, both at the state level and your district, advocating for our small businesses and for always leveraging our state resources to address the unprecedented challenge we're facing. You know, we have been partners, as you mentioned, on behalf of Californians, both in the Senate, which I miss dearly, and during my time now as insurance commissioner. And we will continue to work together during the COVID-19 emergency. The Department of Insurance has been working hard to protect our consumers, as you mentioned. And in San Diego County, leaders are taking a proactive approach and a thoughtful approach, I should add, to adopt a business safety framework to ensure that businesses can reopen safely once they're allowed to do so, and I want to commend all our San Diego leaders for that. As we look ahead to getting our economy back on track, we have a lot of work to do to assist our small businesses and their workers. I don't have to tell you that business closures and job losses are bigger than absolutely anything we have seen since the Great Recession more than a decade ago when, Senator Tony Atkins and I think we were elected to Assembly in 2010. And we had to make some awful cuts and relive that awful story, and we're back. We know that our businesses need help immediately, and the Department of Insurance is taking a number of steps to help small businesses. As Senator Atkins mentioned, I ordered insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to businesses and to our California drivers affected by COVID-19. This order covers at least 6 lines of insurance. And I'm going to go through these individually because what we've been seeing in the press is the majority of the press we're getting is on the private passenger automobile insurance, which is a big win for our consumers, which are greatly in need of some assistance. But it also includes commercial automobile insurance. This covers the cost of accidents involving business-owned vehicles, and we also know that that's changed. That risk profile has changed for many of our businesses who have commercial fleets of vehicles, such as companies that deliver goods and products to their businesses, or products to other businesses or directly to consumers. Workers' compensation, which I'll also continue to talk about, the executive order that our governor just announced yesterday, this covers, as you all know, medical expenses and a portion of lost wages. And this is important because all businesses with employees must have this coverage. And we also know that that risk has changed now that so many of the businesses are closed and have less employees. And commercial multi-peril insurance, which is our commercial multi-peril policies, offer coverage for a variety of losses such as business crime, business auto, boiler and machinery, marine and farm. Most businesses need this coverage, especially if they have their own building or premises and conduct their business on that premise. You will also be getting a rebate for that line of insurance as well. Commercial liability insurance, which is the commercial general liability that protects businesses from financial loss should they be liable for property damage or personal and advertising injury caused by those services. That is also the line of insurance. And, of course, medical malpractice insurance. We're seeing a variety of medical health professionals who have medical malpractice insurance who have seen their practices or office hours being reduced or even closed due to COVID. Obviously, that includes our dentists, orthodontists, chiropractors, psychologists, podiatrists, and we know that elective surgery situations such as plastic or cosmetic surgery are also prohibited, and that's also changed the risk profile for some of our medical professionals. And so with many businesses close to this emergency, again, you need relief from those premiums that no longer reflect that present-day risk of loss. And by requiring companies to return these premiums, it puts money back in your pockets and reduces your future cost when you need it the most. So, you know, as a business owner, you should not have to do absolutely anything to receive the refund. Companies must provide this relief. Insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. And this could, again, just to reiterate, this could be in a form of a premium credit, reduction, return of premium, or an adjustment that gets funds back to you or reduces what you might owe in the future. And the amount you get back will vary by company and policy. And in many cases, it would be a percentage of your premiums for March and April. I am prepared to do the same for May if these stay-at-home rules continue for May. You can also contact your insurance company to provide your actual and estimated change in payroll or business receipts and possibly even qualify for a larger discount. So those two discounts are not you know, mutually exclusive. You can try to you can try to get both. But the one that we are asking in terms of refund and for your current premium, that is automatic through my bulletin. And this really builds on the action I took last month to request insurance companies to give at a minimum a 60-day grace period for businesses to pay premiums. Many insurance companies have honored that request by offering flexibility to consumers and businesses during this national emergency. And again, my department has also received a number of complaints, and I got a direct call from Senator Atkins on business interruption insurance. And this is a major problem for California businesses of all sizes, I might add. While we have encountered business interruption questions in the past following, you know, our most catastrophic wildfires, earthquakes, floods, any other disasters that you can think about, we have seen nothing of this scale. With thousands of businesses closed and drastically reducing payroll, many businesses have looked at their insurance policies for possible coverage. Each insurance policy is a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And since early March, we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, including here in California, which concern the proper interpretation of these policies and whether such policies cover losses due to COVID-19. And we're going to continue to track these different cases. While these cases move to the courts, I have taken several significant steps to address business interruption. I have learned that some insurance companies are denying business interruption claims without a thorough investigation or even discouraging many business owners from even filing a claim, and that is simply unacceptable. On April 14th, in response to the numerous complaints from businesses, public officials, and other stakeholders, I required companies to comply with their contracts and California law by fairly investigating every single business interruption claim caused by COVID-19, just as they would, as Senator Atkins rightfully mentioned, any other disaster. My department will be watching to make sure that they do so. I have directed insurance companies to provide data as well about the number and type of small businesses with business interruption coverage and the scale of both covered and uninsured business losses as well. And we are still reviewing that data. It will be critical to helping policymakers in California and at the federal level to help us deal with this problem. I want to take a moment to just quickly move on to workers' compensation, and I want to address Governor Newsom's actions regarding workers' compensation because I'm sure many businesses have questions about how it would affect them. As we know, yesterday, Governor Newsom signed an executive order extending workers' compensation eligibility for workers who are exposed to or contracted COVID-19. This order applies to any worker who tested positive or were diagnosed with COVID-19 after the stay-at-home order was issued on March 19th and within 14 days of performing labor or service at a place of work. The governor's action will help people recover and get back to work and give peace of mind to those who are working to keep our economy going as we take steps to reopen the state. And again, I have to reiterate, this is a rebuttable presumption, meaning that employers will have a chance to prove that that illness is not work-related. The presumption will stay in place for 60 days from the date of the executive order. It is also important to note that it will take some time to see the impact of COVID-19 on our workers' compensation system. Many of the questions that we've been getting since yesterday are, how is this going to impact the overall workers' compensation system? As you know, businesses that are closed or have drastically reduced payrolls may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term. And my April 13th order for premium rebates includes workers' compensation insurance for that exact reason. Under the current workers' compensation regulation, payrolls include payments to employees who are furloughed and even though they are not working, which means that employers' rates would remain the same as if the employees were still in the workplace performing their regular duties. And employers that provide workers with the opportunity to transition from regular work duties to lighter, home-based clerical is a clear example of that, who work still paying rates based, and who are still paying the rates based on the higher job classification can be changed. As I discussed in my April 13 order, the overall risk of loss for some businesses is lower due to the pandemic, and rates should be lowered to align with the actual risk. I ordered insurers to refund premiums to reflect the risk to enable employers to receive refunds now instead of waiting to the end of the period policy, which we wanted to make sure that we get money again in people's pockets as quickly as possible. I should say that on May 18th, we are holding a hearing to consider proposed emergency regulations from Workers' Compensation Insurance Research Bureau, which would make changes in light of the pandemic. I will review the proposed regulations following the hearing on May 18th and determine whether they are consistent with my overall mandate to reduce those premiums to reflect the reduced risk. The hearing is also going to give me an opportunity to review proposals to establish special reporting rules for COVID-19 injuries. These claims would be specifically tracked so that we can better understand how the pandemic has impacted California's economy. When considering the proposed amendments to the regulation, there's three things that I want to make sure that we look at. We want to make sure that insurers will be able to set rates that are correspond to the risk in the case of future pandemics, that employers will be able to assess the impact of workplace safety measures and practices so that they can protect and grow their business. And also workers will be able to continue to work in a safer environment, knowing they can receive benefits if they become sick. I knew it took a long time, but I just wanted to get all that information out. Thank you again, Senator Elkins, and look forward to answering the questions today.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Lara, and thanks for certainly looking out for consumers in California. We need it now more than ever. So thank you very much. I'm going to turn right now to Mark Herbert, the Vice President of Small Business Majority. Mark directs the Small Business Majority's operations throughout California, and as Vice President, he oversees policy outreach and development efforts across our state and also helps to advise a number of the Governor's Business and Jobs Recovery Task Force and others. So, Mark, welcome.
Thank you very much, Senator, and thank you, Commissioner, for the opportunity to join you all today. And thank you for your leadership in bringing together resources for small business owners. As you both mentioned, now more than ever, it is critical to ensure that entrepreneurs and small business owners have the tools that they need to survive this. As you both mentioned, it's been devastating for small businesses throughout the region. We just released a scientific opinion poll a few weeks ago that showed roughly 90% of California small businesses have reported some level of impact on their business operations. There are roughly 4 million California small businesses, and so that is a number of folks talking about what that means for their bottom line. And what's really concerning is that about 41% of those businesses reduce a decline in revenue of at least half or more since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic and the shelter-in-place orders. And roughly 44% of California small businesses have closed or are planning to close in the coming months. So massive challenge, massive need in our communities, in our neighborhoods, for our small business owners that run our corner stores, our supermarkets, and our local community neighborhood stores. Small Business Majority, we're a national small business education and advocacy organization. It's my honor to work here in California and to lead our efforts here. We do two things. We educate entrepreneurs about what they need, and we also ensure that their voice is part of policy conversations in Sacramento and in D.C. Over the past 8 weeks since this began, we've hosted more than 80 informational webinars, workshops, or collaborated on teletown halls. And really, there are two main things that we hear from small business owners, and the small business owners on this call know this very well. One is, how do I get cash as a business owner? How do I survive this? If my revenue is dropping by more than half, how do I get the resources that I need to weather this crisis? And that's why these, thank you, Senator, for putting together these teletown halls to make sure that those resources are available to entrepreneurs. And thank you, Commissioner, for your work to make sure that as much money as possible stays in the pockets of small business owners in our community so that they have more resources to try to make good decisions for themselves. And the second huge concern that we hear from entrepreneurs and small business owners is, how do I take care of my employees? What do I do to make sure that they are taken care of, even if I have to shut my doors for a period of time? Do I need to fire them? Do I need to lay them off? How does this work? And later in this call, we'll hear about some really great options and programs. I just want to sort of highlight three of them that we'll have an opportunity to get into in more detail. But one is what we've heard coming from the federal government. It's called the Paycheck Protection Program. It's a loan that you would get from your bank. And then if you spend it mostly on payroll and paying for the salaries of your employees, you can get most, if not all, of it forgiven. So a really great option for folks if you can get in line and get access to one of those loans. We'll hear more in detail about what that entails. On our website, VentureEyes.org, we have a list of banks that are accepting applications from small business owners, even if they're not a member. And I know that's been a challenge in the past to identify a bank where to access that resource. So VentureEyes.org, we have a list of those banks that you can apply even if you're not an existing member. The second is the Small Business Administration Disaster Loan. It's a great program that allows for very inexpensive capital and working capital to sort of make it through this crisis, and we'll hear a little bit more about that. And then I just also wanted to flag unemployment insurance. Just the other week here in California, if you are self-employed, you are eligible to file for unemployment insurance through the state, and it's a really great option. Of those 4 million small businesses here in California, more than 3 million are self-employed folks, or self-employed entrepreneurs. And so we want to make sure that you know that you can access self-employed unemployment insurance and relief during this time. I also wanted to flag a really exciting program through the state, through the $50 million loan fund that's been established through the iBank. And the really great piece about this loan fund is that it's specifically going to be available for small business owners who have been at the back of the line when it comes to trying to access PPP or the EIDL loans. So if you are ineligible for those products, this new $50 million loan fund could be a good option for you. Folks who are ineligible for PPP and EIDL loans are undocumented folks and incarcerated folks. And so this pot of capital that will be available is something that is really encouraging and we hope will help a number of small businesses throughout the state. Obviously, today we heard guidance around how this phase reopening may happen here in California. There's a lot that we'll see happening as retail and curbside pickup becomes familiarized as you sort of follow the different guidance about what's available, about how to do that safely. And that brings me to last, in this region here in San Diego, you have an amazing network of counselors who will work with you one-on-one for free to help you navigate your small business decisions. It's the Small Business Development Center Network here in this region. It's the San Diego an Imperial Valley network of SBDCs. You can call them. You can set up appointments with them. They will meet with you one-on-one because we know that every business is different. Every business challenge is unique. And as you identify, am I eligible for a PPP? Should I file for unemployment? What's this $50 million loan fund? How do I comply with these new guidance about how to safely take care of my business and my employees and my customers as we begin this phase reopening? Strongly encourage you to reach out to the San Diego Imperial Network of Small Business Development Centers and Women Business Development Centers in the San Diego region. You can find them online. You can also go to our website, ventureeyes.org. Type in your zip code and the local sites that are available in your community will pop up, and you can call them and set up that one-on-one support. So really appreciate the opportunity to talk today. Look forward to the questions, and really appreciate Senator and Commissioner, your leadership in pulling this together.
Mark, thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough for highlighting some California-specific programs and also mentioning the Small Business Development Centers. And you can always access certainly the Small Business Majority, but if somehow you don't remember that, please call our office. We know about all of those programs, and we can connect you to the center, so keep us as a resource. But, Mark, thank you so much. I'm going to turn now to Mike Sovacall of the U.S. Business Administration. He is the Deputy District Director here in the San Diego office. He joined SBA in January of 2015, and since then he's held a number of positions over the years, including Lender Relations Specialist, Lead Economic Development Specialist. He also serves the District Office Veterans Office as officer, and as well the Project Officer for SCORE and the Small Business Development Centers. So incredible resources, very diverse background he has, extensive private sector experience. And then again, he's also a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel. So, Mike, thank you for being with us today. Let me turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, and it's my pleasure being here. I am Mike Sovacall, and I'm with your Small Business Administration here in San Diego. The purpose of the Small Business Administration is to help small businesses start, grow, and expand their business. And in times of disaster, provide assistance to small businesses in meeting the demands of that disaster and the impacts of that disaster. And that's where I'll focus a lot on that today. Your Small Business Administration here in San Diego has a district office. And they also have a really strong cadre of resource partners, and some of them have been mentioned already today. I'll go over them real quickly. The resource partners here in the San Diego District area are the Small Business Development Centers, the organization called SCORE, Senior Corps Retired Executives. There's a Women's Business Center, and then there's a Veteran Business Outreach Center. All those centers consist of counselors and mentors that have experience in small business and are trained in helping small businesses start, grow, expand, and recover from disasters. That cadre resource partners gives us about 200 small business counselors in the San Diego District Office area, and that area consists of San Diego County and Imperial County. You can identify those resource partners and points of contact here in your district office by going to the webpage. The webpage is sba.gov/CA for California/San Diego. So sba.gov/CA/San Diego. Let me talk a little bit about the federal programs that the SBA and the Department of Treasury have implemented for small businesses during the COVID-19 disaster. And I'll talk about three of them. The first one is the SBA Debt Relief Program. That program is for any small business who has a current SBA loan, a 7A or 504 loan with a bank. If you have a current loan, 7A and 504 with a bank, you can seek debt relief, and the SBA will pay 6 months of that loan, both principal and interest. And so if you have a current loan, reach out to your bank in which you got that loan from and let them know you're interested in the debt relief program. So that's 6 months paid principal and interest on any current loan that you have with the SBA. And so that's a great program, and we should all take advantage of that if, in fact, we got an SBA loan. The second loan program that I'll talk about during the disaster is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan / Advance Program. That program is a loan for to small businesses who have been impacted by the disaster. It could be up to $2 million per small business. It has a 3.75 interest rate. Nonprofits are also eligible, and they have a 2.75 interest rate. Payment terms could be up to 30 years. The first year's payments are deferred. You can, over 5 million people, over 5 million small businesses have applied for the EIDL loan to date. Currently, the EIDL loan is open to those businesses in the agricultural industry. That's good news for the people in San Diego District, Imperial Valley specifically, but even in San Diego itself, there are several small businesses in the agricultural area. And so you find that portal to apply at the SBA's webpage. It would be sba.gov. There's a little yellow banner on top that says COVID-19 assistance. You click on that and you follow the directions to the applications for the economic injury disaster loan. I'll talk a little bit about the Paycheck Protection Program. The Paycheck Protection Program is to cover, is to provide small businesses assistance in keeping employees paid during the disaster period. The Paycheck Protection Program provides up to $10 million for small businesses that have been impacted by the disaster. It has a low interest of 1%. It has payment terms of 2 years. The beauty of the Paycheck Protection Program is it can be forgiven. If you utilize 75% of the loan amount against employee costs and you retain the number of employees that you included in the application form, then the loan can be forgiven. And so the intent of the Paycheck Protection Program is to keep employees paid during the disaster. You can apply for the Paycheck Protection Program through lenders. There are over 5,000 lenders nationwide participating. The SBA has added thousands of new lenders to the SBA portfolio during this, since the inception of the disaster. I want to give a tip of the hat to the lending community. The lending community has jumped in with both feet. This was a big program. It was started relatively quickly. It has required a lot of people to operate outside of their box, their normal box. And to date, there's been more than 4 million loans approved and almost $500 billion provided to small businesses across the country in the Paycheck Protection Program. California, the state of California, is the leading recipient of those loans in both number and dollar amount. And so it's been a good program for small businesses. So I just want to reiterate that your Small Business Administration is here to serve you, that the SBDC, SCORE, Veteran Business Outreach Center, and the Women's Business Center are all involved in helping small businesses understand programs available to small business during this disaster and to provide you assistance in applying for these opportunities. And so I encourage you to reach out, and I'll give you the website one more time in which you can identify all the resources here available to you. That is the San Diego District Office's website, sba.gov/CA/California/San Diego. And the phone number here to our district office is 619-727-4883. We intend to answer the phone. You'll get a person at the other end of the line. If you don't, because the phones have been busy, please do leave a message, and we've got personnel dedicated to getting back in touch to anybody that has reached out to us. So that's your SBA. They work for the small business community. We're here to serve you, and if we can help in any way, please do reach out and let us know. Thank you.
Michael. Thank you so much. It really is wonderful to have such a partnership with our U.S. Small Business Administration. It takes everyone at every level, and you've been there before the pandemic, and we appreciate that. You've always been an incredible resource for us in this office to our constituents who call. So thank you. And in particular, thank you for highlighting benefits for the agricultural industry. Not a lot of people think of agriculture when they think of San Diego, but those of us here know that that's a part of our economy. So thank you.
Yep.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go right ahead, Lieutenant
Colonel. I was going to say San Diego is one of the leading agricultural areas across the country, and it's not well known to a lot of people, but there's a lot of agricultural businesses, and they provide significant impact to the area, so I appreciate you mentioning that.
Well, thank you, and thank you. Not a lot of people do know that, but we do know that here at home, so thank you. And turning to our last speaker, last but not least, let me just welcome and introduce the CEO of our San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce, Jerry Sanders. And speaking of diverse backgrounds, Jerry has been our former mayor, a former police chief, CEO of the Red Cross and the United Way, now, of course, as CEO of our regional chamber. I'm honored to have worked with him for more than two decades in all of these roles. But most importantly to the commissioner, our insurance commissioner, let me introduce an Aztec alumni, Jerry Sanders.
Thank you very much, Senator, and thank you, Commissioner Laura. Locally, our conversations have focused on moving forward and reopening our businesses swiftly but safely. The Chamber's been working on the front lines in those efforts, providing business input to our local elected leaders. The County of San Diego unanimously approved a regional reopening framework that was designed with input from the Recover Task Force, led by Supervisor Greg Cox and Mayor Kevin Faulkner. In addition to the Recover Task Force, the Chamber has been building a back-in-business initiative with the San Diego Regional EDC and the Tourism Authority. And this effort builds on the short-term solutions called for by the Recover Task Force and aims to address a mid- to long-term plan for getting our businesses back on their feet for good. I'd like to encourage participants looking for resources to visit our website also at www.sdchamber.org/coronavirus. There are still several significant challenges the business community faces, even with the state and county framework rules in place, and we're committed to keeping the dialogue going on those. Really, some of them center around supply chain disruptions that have made it difficult to obtain masks, hand sanitizer, and other forms of personal protective equipment. There's also ongoing questions around employer obligations and how best to communicate expectations from the employer and employee side, both continue to bubble up, so those are issues that we're working on. Solutions to the problems of childcare. It's critically important for our businesses that parents can go back to work knowing their children are safe and cared for. Should schools and traditional child care slots continue to remain closed or limited in capacity, we need to review proposals for alternative or short-term child care that can ease pressures on working parents while also expanding child care opportunities in the long term. The Chamber remains committed to serving the needs of our community. And we just thank all of you for participating in this call, and we certainly thank Senator Atkins and all of our speakers for all the help that they're giving us in keeping the lines of communication open. Thank you.
Jerry, thank you so much and for outlining a number of those issues, particularly child care, certainly our kids and education. It's definitely going to be something that the state has to look at. And has been, actually, as it relates to child care. But in terms of your representation here in the region and certainly at the state level, we appreciate all that you and the Chamber are doing. And to everyone on the call, Jerry Sanders has to exit the call, so he won't be with us for questions. But the Chamber, he gave you the number. They are available for outreach, for questions. And so please feel free to contact them for resources if you need to. Moving to the question and answer period, we received a number of questions, and we're going to try to get through as many of them as possible. And I'm going to start. The first question has to do with SBA 7A loans. And so the question is, for the existing SBA 7A loans, so Michael, this will be for you. Will the SBA consider a lower collateral-to-loan ratio during the difficult economic time?
Okay, let me I think I previously mentioned that there is a debt relief program for current SBA loans, and if you have a current loan, you can seek the SBA will pay 6 months of that loan. For new 7A loans, the SBA loan program works where you get an SBA loan through a current SBA lender. And so your negotiations for loans for an SBA loan is with the lender. The SBA loan program provides a guarantee to the lender on those loans so that the lending community is more inclined to provide a loan to the small business, because small businesses generally are considered risky loans, and so the government provides guarantees to the lending community on an SBA loan to make them more inclined to provide that loan. And so that discussion would be between you, the small business, and the lenders that participate in the SBA loan program. There has not been any directive specifically addressing changes to any of the SBA 7A or 504 loan portfolios. But let me caveat that with that the lending community is well aware of the current situation, and they may be more open to adjusting the normal collateral and commitment requirements that that they have previously applied. And so I know I'm talking around the answer because I don't have a specific yes or no, but that's how the loan program works, and the lending community is knee-deep in supporting small businesses in San Diego, and so they might be more inclined to coming to terms with small businesses seeking loans than based on the crisis we're in.
Michael, thank you. And I know we can reach out to you if people have further questions about that, but it sounds like a very thoughtful consideration and assistance available. The second question, Mark, I'm going to tee you up and toss this one to you. Regarding the Paycheck Protection Plan, is there flexibility in meeting the full FTA requirement for forgiveness if your business is ordered to close?
Yeah, thank you, Senator. It's a great question. Part of the challenge with PPP, and one of the great things about PPP, as Mike mentioned, is that it's designed to be forgivable. So when you go back to the lender after June 30th and say, I spent all the money on what I was supposed to spend it on, it will then be forgiven, and then it becomes essentially a grant. Treasury is working as fast as they can to continue, along with SBA, to continue to update the guidance on exactly how that formula is going to work, on all the details. Because this was built as we were flying it, or as it was being flown, some areas are still a little gray, and we're doing our best to identify those areas and get the best answers. A little like Mike talking around the question, I will say that specifically around having folks at home or having them in your business, you can still pay folks even if there's a shelter in place in order. You can still have them on the payroll. You can still use your PPP loan for that purpose. And our recommendation is to use as much of that PPP loan on payroll as you can, because that really is the intent of the legislation and the intent of the program, is to try to keep people on the payroll. With the goal of that then being forgiven. So in terms of flexibility, it doesn't matter whether your business is physically open. You can still pay your employees, and you can still do have remote communications, but you can still keep folks on the payroll and make sure that you are spending your PPP loan on them. And that would be our recommendation as we move forward, so that you can maximize your forgiveness when you seek that from the bank.
Thank you. You know, I'm going to, because we were talking about Paycheck Protection Program, and Michael made comments on that, and you have followed up on that issue. There was another question that sort of tried to drill down on that issue of, you know, what is the strict set of metrics that the lender and the government use to dictate the level of forgiveness? Let me just ask either one of you, is there anything, Michael or Mark, you want to say related to that? You mentioned, Mark, gray air, you know, it's a little gray. Everybody's trying to do the best they can, but anything either of you want to add on the question someone asked about strict set of metrics from the lender and government used to dictate the level of forgiveness? Anything further you want to add?
I'll take a quick check at it, then Mark can follow up. For the Paycheck Protection Program to be forgiven, the requirement is to spend at least 75% of your loan amount on paying employees. And Mark made a good point. Part of the intent of the program is to pay employees even while the businesses are closed. And so it's to keep them paid even though they cannot go to work. And so it's 75%, and it is to retain the same number of employees that you had when you made the application. And so it's to keep people employed is the intent. And so those are the two main metrics. Now, we fully anticipate, because there are a lot of questions about it, and you made a good analogy when we're flying the plane as we're putting it together. But we fully expect very clear and definitive guidance from Department of Treasury and the SBA on what all that means and the appropriate forms to use to go back to the bank when it's time to seek forgiveness. But the two main guidelines are 75% of your loan amount is paid on payroll for 8 weeks, and the 8-week clock starts to tick the day after you receive funding, and to retain the number of employees that you had when you made the application for the loan itself.
Thank you.
Mark, yes,
go ahead.
Thank you, Senator. I'll just add, Mike is absolutely right. The one additional piece of information I'd say there is that we have seen scenarios where an employer is wanting to rehire one of their employees who they had to let go, but now that they have the PPP loan, they can rehire that employee. But the employee may not want to come back. They may not want to come back because of concerns about safety or concerns about making more money through unemployment or having some other sort of conflict. And so if the employee does not want to come back or does not want to be rehired, the guidance from Treasury is to just document that and to make it clear that this offer was extended to rehire. But that employee declined that offer. Just make sure you document that so that you make sure that that's part of the information you provide to the bank when you ask for forgiveness.
Mark, that was really helpful and a very important point, as was the point that Michael made about when the clock starts ticking the day after you receive the loan. So thank you both for further clarification on that. Mr. Insurance Commissioner, I have a couple of questions to toss your way. This is from one of the listeners. I own a passenger transportation company and carry commercial insurance, but as you may know, our business has come to a full stop due to COVID-19. Despite the request of the insurance commissioner, my insurance got canceled for not paying the premium on March 20th. I filed a complaint with the California Department of Insurance a couple days ago. Under current circumstances, what are the response times, and is there a way I can expedite my claim because we cannot serve our clients due to this cancellation? Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you. That is a great question, and I have to just quickly add and say that my Deputy Commissioner, Tony Signorelli, and my Department General Counsel, Ken Schnoll, are also on the line to help further talk about some of these answers. As you know, I direct the department to prioritize all complaints related to COVID-19. And if we get contact information for the person that asked this question. We can make direct contact. Tony, are you on the line to further elaborate on this question? Because it's a great example of the question we keep getting.
Yes, I am, Commissioner. And as you mentioned, if we can get the contact information, we're happy to make direct contact with the person that asked the question. If not, that person should call our 800 number, 800-927-4357, and ask that question directly to one of our officers, and they'll be able to assist them further. And the short answer is the response time will be, Commissioner mentioned he's prioritizing these cases, and we're going to get directly on it to make sure that the insurance company is fulfilling its agreement to give a grace period. Now, that agreement will be different between depending on which insurance company you have. Some insurance companies have offered more generous grace periods than others, and there are some companies that aren't able to offer grace periods. But even if they didn't offer you a grace period, please contact us anyway, which it appears you did, and we'll look through your case, make contact with the insurance company to see if they're willing to provide that grace period and assist you further.
Thank you. Mr. Commissioner, I have another question. Reductions in driving due to COVID-19 have clearly caused a short-term dip in auto claim frequency. What trends are you seeing in homeowners and business insurance policies as more and more workers are absent from the workplace and present at home more often?
Another great question. You know, there are strong indicators demonstrating that the risk of accidents has fallen sharply due to Governor Newsom's stay-at-home orders. Obviously, those who are not driving pose very little risk of loss, but those essential businesses that must use our roads, these drivers are traveling on the roads with substantially less traffic, which, early evidence, which includes a very important UC Davis special special report on the impact of COVID-19 mitigation and numbers and cost of California traffic crashes, suggests that the number of accidents in the state has declined substantially, and that's why on April 13th, the bulletin really covers risks in many lines, including personal, automobile, as I said before, to return those premiums to policyholders who now pose a lower risk than originally anticipated. We don't have enough data about stay-at-home orders and how they're affecting homeowner insurance and other lines, however, but we are trying to figure that data out as well.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Well, far be it for me. I've never been in a position to put my own self on the hot spot, but let's see. There was a question to me. I feel we have lost the third branch form of government in California, and we've ceded all the power to the executive branch. How long does that continue? When does the legislature start becoming more of a decision-making process in the state? Well, it's a good question, and one, as the President Pro Tem of the Senate, I've had to grapple with for the last 7 weeks. It's not simple or easy for people elected as public servants to sit back and not be engaged fully in a process, as we've watched our governor during a state of emergency in the pandemic basically have to step up as our Constitution dictates. But I will say, I said earlier in the call, I've talked to the governor at least twice a week. Our assembly has reconvened. The Senate will reconvene on Monday. And you obviously heard reference yesterday to the fact that our budget and the commissioner made reference to when we were elected in 2010, there was a $27 billion deficit. That preceded or came after a $40 billion deficit in 2008-2009. And we spent a decade, along with former Governor Brown and Governor Newsom, rebuilding our reserve. And now you heard yesterday we're facing possibly a $53.2 billion deficit. I will say the Senate, and I'm sure the Assembly as well, has some thoughts about how to limit the pain as we go into yet another situation that many of us are experienced with. Reclaiming that role as we approve the most important document in California that impacts the lives of Californians, and that's our state budget. So we've had a budget hearing. We had a hearing yesterday. The hearings have started, and fear not. We will interject ourselves to make sure that we're working on behalf of our constituents. And I thank you for that question. We take our work serious, and we will move forward as we look at our budget as well as possibly two budgets this year. I will say one of the most important things I heard recently was from Janet Yellen, the former chair of the Federal Reserve, and Jerome Powell, the current chair, where they basically said, we need to make sure as we come slowly back into opening up our economy in California that we don't risk going back into a full surge, which will set our economy back even further. When I hear from both of them what we need to do to get our economy running, in addition to the public health experts, it's not often you have economic fiscal people and public health people on the same page. I take great advice from those individuals. Fear not, we are working hard, hopefully on your behalf. I think at this point, in terms of closing, I will just thank everyone for your time. These are difficult days. I know it. We feel it. But I am optimistic that working together, we will be able to make sure that California continues to be the fifth largest economy in the world, the place where innovation and technology come together to make sure that we have a vibrant economy and that everyone gets to experience that even as we come out of difficult, difficult times. I'm going to ask my co-host and partner, Commissioner Lara, if he would like to close us out with some final remarks.
Thank you, Senator Atkins. And just a quick reminder, we will be there'll be a recorded link of our teletown hall will be posted on our website at insurance.ca.gov. In closing, I'll take a moment quickly to also highlight and urge all businesses to be on the lookout for fraud. We know that, unfortunately, during these catastrophes and disasters, fraudsters utilize this opportunity to try to rip people off, and encourage you all to report any suspicious activity to the Department of Insurance. Many people don't know, but we have 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices. We are very proud of our team that is in North County, San Diego, and work with our local DAs. Just to let you know, the work that we do, we investigate all types of insurance fraud, disability, healthcare, auto insurance, workers' compensation, and in partnering with our local district attorneys, we prosecute over $1 billion each year. So want to make sure, again, that you use us as a resource. We have at our 1-800 number, 1-800-927-4357, we have all our people are on telework. You have live insurance experts that will open up a claim, open a case up for you, and help guide you through your insurance needs, regardless, you know, consumers and our business owners. So we're really here for you and encourage you to call us, and you can also submit a claim on our website at insurance.ca.gov. Thank you so much, Senator.
That was perfect timing. Let me just thank everyone for being on the call. Let you know, please call our office if you have questions, and we will be posted on our website as well. The notes will be posted and the link for the hearing. So with that, let me thank our speakers who were incredible, and thank you all for joining us today. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference for today. We thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Event Conferencing. You may now disconnect.